asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
Yes, he is. And today we're discussing child labor, Equifax's idiocy, and some utility bill hacks.
So I kind of introduced myself, I kind of sounded like Eeyore, and I don't want people to think I'm depressed, I just wasn't quite ready for you to hit record yet.
Why are you so unhappy, my friend?
Now I am ready. It took me a few seconds to kind of gather my thoughts. But no, this is our Friday flight. We were talking about the stories that we came across this week, the stories that we think are going to pertain most to your personal finances. And by the way, let's announce the winners from the How to Money Sock giveaway. These are folks who not only left us a review on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict, wherever it is that you listen, but you sent us an email. Because that is how you officially enter into the sock giveaway. And we ran all of those names through the randomizer of everyone who reached out to us. And we've got five winners. And they are Kendall M, Matt W, Amanda P, Alejandro S, and Nate S. You are all sock winners. And we will be reaching out to you for your mailing address to get those most beautiful socks on their way to your feet.
They're some sexy socks, I'm not going to lie. And they're going to look good on all five of you. So yeah, I'll ship those out.
I wish I had five pairs that I could wear them. You and I, we only have one pair.
That's right.
How many did we order? We don't want to be wasteful. We ordered a bunch of them, but we're kind of frugal, and so I think we're like, okay, you get a pair, I get a pair.
We want to reserve them for listeners.
Should we save them for Fridays? Is that when we should always wear our How to Money socks?
Yeah, Fun Sock Friday.
Like Fun Fridays.
Duh.
But yeah, you folks can expect to hear from us soon, and there will be other opportunities for everyone else out there to get a pair of custom Performance Crew How to Money socks.
That's right. All right. Before we get to kind of the Friday flight, Matt, our listener, David, actually on the note of socks, sent us an email with a story from the Washington Post.
The lawsuit story?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. This guy, this customer of Bass Pro Shops had been buying these socks that were guaranteed for life. And so he would return them on occasion when they got holes in them, and they would replace them, no problem. But it sounds like the last time he went there, they said, okay, well, now you're exchanging them for ones that have a 60-day guarantee. no longer are they guaranteed for life. And so he is suing.
They changed the sock, right? Like the sock used to have a lifetime warranty. Now the sock only, it's the same sock, but they're just like, yeah, we're not going to guarantee it for life anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. They're saying that this, we don't stand behind the product in the same way we used to.
I guess what I'm saying is they weren't targeting him.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, dude's coming in again.
They're targeting everybody.
We're going to stick it to him.
They're like, we're losing too much money on these socks. And people like this customer are going to run us out of business. So yeah, what's your thought on that? Is it frugal or cheap to file a lawsuit against Bass Pro Shops when they kind of renege on their promise?
Well, for him to be upset about it, I think it's totally fine. Because I feel that way too. I've got a few pairs of, I think I mentioned this last week, but Darn Tough, they've got lifetime warranties on their socks. And when I pay $20 or maybe even a little bit more than $20, I am partly doing that because I want to be able to replace those socks down the road when they develop holes in them. And that's something that they advertise. Were they to change that? Well, that's the whole reason I bought those socks in the first place.
And the insurance policy is a big part of the product you're buying.
Exactly. And similarly, that's how this guy felt. And so, like, would I file a lawsuit? I mean, probably not.
You'd probably send a snarky email or something like that.
Yeah, I would probably do that. But I think it's frugal for that guy. If he wants to do it, I'm happy that he's doing it. And I'm sure everybody else that has those socks are like, yeah, dude, because it's a class action
stand up for us
lawsuit. And they'll hopefully all be able to participate in that. But I think this was a huge misstep on Bass Pro Shops' part.
It's bad press for them.
Yeah, dude, they still could have treated the customers who maybe have already had those socks.
Grandfather them in.
It's not difficult to create a database or something. Like, I don't know. There are ways for them to figure this out. But moving forward, okay, now these socks moving forward will only have 60 days. I think there's a way that they could have found ways to cut costs, because obviously that's what they're doing, while still keeping a happy customer base.
Agreed. When you have, these are loyal
Instead
customers.
Instead of going cold turkey and just chopping it off.
Yeah, I feel like that's a loyal customer who says, I'm buying your products because of the guarantee. And yeah, you don't want
to. That's the kind of customer you want.
You don't want to upset the apple cart for something so small. Agreed. You can grandfather this guy in. Bass Pro Shops, do the right thing. Let this guy have lifetime free socks.
They're not doing the right thing.
Yeah, they're not doing the right thing.
They're going to settle.
All right, well, let's get to our Friday flight. And the first story has to do with biking. Google Maps has a new biking feature, a feature to help people bike better. And so there's a lot of bees going on right now. Well, we always say that the biking is basically exercise and the ability to save money all wrapped up into one thing. Although sometimes finding the right route that avoids traffic and some of the nastier hills out there can be tough. So I think that holds a lot of people back from maybe hopping on their bike because they don't know what the safest route is to get to their destination. And they're worried that on their non-e-bike, let's say, they might encounter, we used to have a hill when I was growing up called Big Bertha.
And they're like, Bertha.
if I get on Big Bertha, man, I'm going to be sweating too much and I might not be able to get up, but I got to walk my bike up and that's just not fun. So Google's new update to Maps is making this choice much easier. Pretty soon you're going to get even more granular data, like the availability of like partial or full bike lanes on the path that you're going. You can see elevation changes on a particular street and you can see how heavy the car traffic is likely to be on the streets you plan to use. So I think this is really cool. We want more people to get out there on their bikes to save money and to get fitter and to just enjoy where they live a little bit more. And I like that Google's making it easier for us to do that.
So I actually checked because I was curious if that's already been implemented in our area. And I saw that. So the street availability or, you know, whether or not there's bike lanes, that isn't up to date. But the elevation is on there. And so personally, I've never looked much at it because I tend to just get on my bike and ride and figure it out. Basically,
you see Big Bertha as like an additional challenge.
I'm like, bring it on. I dig that additional sweat. But you know, according to Google, we've seen a 40% increase in biking activity in the past few months. I'm sure that a lot of that does have to do with the warmer temperatures as folks have been able to get outside. But I'm glad to see that folks are actually using those bikes that they bought during the pandemic, unlike Pelotons and other pandemic purchases.
The stationary ones have now become place to put your laundry.
At least you can hang that towel.
That's right.
on your stationary
bike. The outdoor
bikes,
though. They got to get used. Come on.
Absolutely. So we talked about the recession chatter last week for a second. Well, it turns out that credit card companies, they aren't worried about a recession. They are actually getting even more aggressive when it comes to acquiring new customers. And they're sending out solicitations like candy, basically. According to the Financial Times, there was a 47% surge in paper and digital solicitations in Q1. And Q2 likely saw an even bigger increase. We just don't have those numbers yet. But sign-up bonuses are getting richer on some cards in an effort to attract new customers as well. And so, yeah, what should you do as a How to Money listener? Well, we are totally cool with you getting a new card in order to snag a sign-up bonus. That's often going to mean free money or a boatload of free travel points. But we only want you to do that if it doesn't increase your overall spend amount and if you pay that puppy off on time and in full every single month.
Yeah. So I just signed up for a new credit card, Matt, in order to get the additional bonus because we got to pay for the next semester of my wife's school. And
put that on the card.
Exactly. It's like the perfect time because it's not cheap graduate school. So when you can do that in one fell swoop.
At least get... Yeah, $750. Did you do the Chase?
Oh yeah, no, I did the Capital One Venture Card.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Very nice.
So we'll link to that one in the show notes if you want you want to check it out. But this is the kind of thing where you can take advantage of. That's something we were gonna pay for anyway.
You're
right?
Gonna do it anyway. Yeah. You'd already saved up the money. You know that you're gonna be able to pay that off.
Yep.
It's not like you're going into this purchase without a plan.
Yeah,
you've got a plan. You're gonna pay it off.
And I could have put it on one of the credit cards I already had, but then I'm missing out on something like, you know, $800 in free rewards. So why not get 10% off, basically, on my wife's education? Oh, and by the way, Matt, you mentioned just more and more solicitations coming in people's mailboxes.
Junk mail.
If you're tired of getting that stuff, or if it tempts you to sign up for a card maybe that you don't need or want, just go to optoutprescreen.com. We'll link to that in the show notes, too. But that's a place where you can say, don't send that stuff my way anymore, and the credit card companies will stop. And speaking of credit cards, a new creditcards.com survey shows that young folks are actually the worst tippers. And it said even if they make a solid income, right? So it was funny to me that it wasn't just based on, okay, people that make less money don't tip as well. That's not what this survey found. And so specifically, they're talking about millennials and Gen Zers. And, you know, here we go again with everyone out there blaming us for all the wrong things in the world. But I guess I'm curious to know.
You're burning the world down with your avocado toast and your inability to tip.
And your paltry tips. So, yeah, what are your thoughts? Do we have some sort of moral obligation to tip? You know, we've talked about this. I feel like at every turn, more and more places we're getting asked to tip. And there's like the little iPad that gets turned around. And even at the coffee shop, it's like, do you want to tip 30, 50, or 100% on this purchase?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's awkward. Well, so how do you think about
that? So it's interesting that the breakdown occurs between like Zoomers, Millennials, and then Gen Xers and baby boomers seem to be like way more generous with their tips. And what's really interesting, if you think about it, is that is also where you see a massive divide when it comes to net worth. Like literally, like Zoomers don't even register on like the percentage of net worth that they hold compared to, like Millennials are something like 6%, and all the rest are older generations. And so what it seems like is going on, or I don't know, might be going on, is that there is what I would argue an inability to stomach bad service by younger generations, right? Like, so I'm not making an excuse saying that, hey, oh, you can start leaving a tip once you've built up a big net worth. What I'm saying is I think when you have a lot of money in the bank, you've got a substantial net worth, when you are presented with poor service, that you're still okay tipping. Almost like you're immune to bad service. Whereas if every dollar that you earn is incredibly valuable when you're younger, when you are a millennial, when you are a Zoomer. And in those instances, I think it is okay to adjust your tip accordingly. And again, I'm not saying that you should not tip at all. I still think there's maybe like that there should be a baseline, right? Like I've never not tipped at least 10%. Like I feel like in my mind, 10% is like the new zero.
Yeah, yeah. And 10% for something like counter service, I'm cool with. I guess it's just, it can be frustrating to see like options for tipping at a counter service style place that exceed 20%. And that's like the basic ask. And that feels unreasonable to me.
Yeah. I'm going to go in there with a custom amount if that's what you got up there on the screen.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I don't know. This is a theory I'm proposing though, that there is just more variance with tipping depending on the service that you are given.
Yeah.
Basically. Because I'm happy to tip even more. Like I will tip 30%.
Sure.
If someone's like talks to us and engages and helps us to thoughtfully think about a menu or makes a recommendation on a type of beer, anytime that there's like really good beer talk going on, I'm such a great tipper. If they're like, oh, have you had this? And if we're talking through a beer menu, man, they are 100%. Well, they're totally going to get 30% of when it comes to the tip line.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that people need to think about is, well, if I can't afford to tip, should I even be going out to eat? If you can't and you're like, I can't be generous with the server and I'm going to have to basically give them short shrift, then you should probably stay home and not go out at all.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's just a part of that transaction. That's a part of what should be expected out of patrons. All right, let's talk about jobs. Dude, is the Great Resignation even happening anymore at this point?
I feel don't even know.
It was on every single headline. I'm not sure. I don't really care, honestly. But the reality is that a lot of folks who jump to a new opportunity have been able to increase their pay in a seriously big way. And while, you know, the job market, it's softening just a bit. It's like less raging bonfire, maybe more piping hot solo stove. That's another pandemic reference.
A lot of people got solo stoves.
Even still, folks are still changing jobs in order to increase their incomes. And thanks to everyone's new pal, inflation, real earnings for workers who stayed put at their current positions actually declined by 1.7%. But workers who peaced out, they saw an average real wage increase of nearly 10%, 9.7. That is a healthy increase. And this is according to data from our new besties over at Pew Research. And so we share this because we want to highlight that obviously, money's not everything, and leaving a job just to make more money, like, that does not always make sense. There are a number of factors that you want to consider. But this is How to Money. This is the show. This is what we talk about, and money is a meaningful part of that equation. And so a lot of listeners out there, we think, could still get a substantial pay bump by finding employment elsewhere. We want that to be something that you are considering. Just like when we talk about different expenses in our lives, we want you to question everything. And I think it's always worth questioning, well, is this a job that I want to stick with? Is this where I'm going to continue to have my bread buttered?
Yeah, and just because the job market is softening a little bit doesn't mean you can't still jump ship and get a massive raise. That there's still a lot of opportunity out there. And Matt, there was a New York Times article this week on the job market, but the job market for teens, so that's the child labor part of our headline today. But it talked about how the best extracurricular activity for many high school students may be getting a job. And I gotta say, I like where they're headed with this one, because I agree wholeheartedly. Of course, there are some teens, right, where they're in a situation that requires them to get a job to help their family out. They don't have the luxury necessarily to choose between getting a job and doing more school activities. But regardless of the reason why a teenager gets a job, there are just so many different lessons that kids can learn, we would say, working part-time during those years, that they're unlikely to learn in most classrooms at most schools.
Sure, yeah.
Matt, I got my first job at 14. I mean, I was working before that, even in the neighborhood, mowing lawns and stuff like that, from the age of 12. But my first legit job at the age of 14.
I was like an 11-year-old pool boy. Could barely swim.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I'll still clean your pool, though. And yeah, so I think my first job, I was getting paid $5.15 an hour.
Nice.
But it was right across the street from my high school. Right when I got out of school, I would go walk across the street and throw on the uniform, work for a few hours. And this is one of those things. I learned so much. And I remember my manager, her go-to phrase was, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. And so I thought I was taking a break.
It's a classic line.
She wasn't having it. And so I learned a lot about responsibility, really, and kind of how to work with superiors and peers during those days.
And I'm sure she was probably just a fine boss, right? But like, I think that's one of the things that you learn when you do get a job at a young age. You learn what it takes to work under somebody maybe who isn't so great.
Yep.
A lot of bosses out there are fantastic, but there are some. There are a lot of managers who aren't so great.
You learn about working when you don't necessarily want to, right?
Because you're on the schedule. You're on the schedule. And like you see, working with others, there's a certain amount of teamwork that comes into play with folks where it's like, man, you didn't choose these. Like, these aren't teammates that you chose for a class project. You know, like, these aren't even folks who are taking the same class as you. Like, who knows, like, the backgrounds of the folks that you're working with, but you still have to work together to get the job done. Mm-hmm. There's the type of learning that takes place within a workplace environment like that that's just so robust. Like you said, like, that does not happen within a school setting.
One of the most important things, when we're talking about inflation and wage inflation, there's been even more at that bottom end of the scale. And so teenagers can make, like I said, my starting salary was $5 $15. Now a lot of teenagers can get a job making something like $15, $16, $17 an hour pretty easily with, you know, nothing on their resume. So that's just kind of another pointer in the right direction. Like, oh, cool, I can actually make some real money going out there and getting a part-time job.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of parents who are, you know, are they're a little worried because they're thinking, well, I want to make sure my kids are focusing on their grades, that they're able to get into the college that they want to get into. And we asked the question on our Wednesday episode, is college for dummies? And I think that desire over the past multiple decades of parents just shuttling their kids down that college path has led a lot of folks to not even consider an after-school job because they are focusing on their grades.
Exactly.
But the fact is, not everybody is cut out for college. And so what that means is that there's an entire, I don't know, generation of people right now who maybe didn't end up going to college, or if they did, didn't graduate. And they also missed out on the benefits on that sort of informal education of becoming a well-rounded person, what they would have learned had they started working under a great manager or a fantastic boss at the age of 15, which are some incredibly formidable years.
And even if your kid is going to college, it doesn't mean that some work history in high school isn't helpful to them, because it is. You're learning a lot of real-life skills before you got to get into real life. And granted, I don't think you should necessarily be making your high schooler work 30 hours a week, but something like, you know, 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah, like 2-3 shifts.
It can be a nice balance. It can help them learn some skills, make a little bit of money. And so I don't think it has to be all or nothing. It's like, oh, they can only focus on school. They can do both, right? The 15, 16, 17 year olds, they are equipped to do both. So we think more kids should be going in that direction. We agree with the New York Times.
Yeah.
But Matt, we got more stories to cover on this Friday flight, including some egregious actions by the credit bureau Equifax. We'll talk about that and more right after this break. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. All right, we're back, and we will talk about how Equifax still sucks.
Right. Next time, say it like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Only because you just told me to. I'm a contrarian. No, we're going to get to our ludicrous headline of the week right now, man. And this headline read, U.S. Bank fined $37.5 million for opening fake customer accounts. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, they revealed this at the end of last week. And it turns out there's another bank out there who's trying to be like Wells Fargo. And, you know, you'd think that after all that Wells Fargo went through, U.S. Bank, maybe they would have learned from Wells Fargo's mistakes, but it turns out that didn't happen because it was going on basically at the same time as all the Wells Fargo.
It's been happening for over a decade.
Fraud. Exactly. Yeah, the CFPB said that the U.S. Bank not only opened up unwanted checking and savings accounts for its customers, but also credit cards and lines of credit. And I know we say this a lot, but I think it bears repeating, and that is the big banks suck. We would not recommend that you do business with them voluntarily. Generally speaking, big banks, their rates are inferior, their customer service sucks, their fees are typically higher, and you know, you might just find yourself getting treated even more poorly in the case of being a Wells Fargo or a U.S. Bank customer. Stay away from those big names.
Yeah, I'm glad they're being held to account. I'm glad their feet are being held to the fire. We're going to talk about another case in which companies are not being held responsible for their actions in just a second. But first, since we're talking about fees, Matt, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about the ways hotels are increasing fees on their customers this week. They're charging guests anywhere between $25 to $200 just to reserve a chair by the pool so that you can ensure that you've got a spot on a Saturday morning. That struck me as
sounds
insane.
Nice.
It sounds nice to have a spot by the pool, not for that kind of money, though. That's crazy. But yeah, these aren't even necessarily some sort of fancy cush loungers, sometimes just basic pool recliners. And so, yeah, when we're talking about, we don't really like fees, Matt. Maybe this is something we should dedicate a whole episode to in the near future, because
I think we've done a fees episode.
We have, but I feel like
if it was too long ago, there's a whole new generation of fees.
Exactly.
For us to tackle.
There's more and more fees popping up. And so even when it comes to like resort fees, right, that's something that's happening at hotels more and more frequently. Something like $45 a night. They're making that mandatory because, yeah, it's a resort fee. And what does it actually cover? Well, we don't really know, but it
covers the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It covers your coffee maker.
Yeah, maybe. I guess so. So
that's what they say, but it's like, no, this is just you being able to pad your profits.
Yes, it is. And so before you take your next trip, check out the hotel's website for more information on the fees they charge and read reviews on a site like TripAdvisor, because oftentimes those reviewers will point out how ridiculous the fees might be at a particular place. It might help you steer clear of some of those unexpected fees. Matt, we just went on a trip last weekend to just outside of Nashville to the Opryland Hotel, which is a beautiful hotel, by the way. Yeah, my father-in-law, like, paid for everything. He had some points and stuff like that. But when we got there, we realized parking was $33, just self-parking. Ooh. No valet. It's parking in a parking lot.
Can you like pull up, unload the car, and then park it across the street at like the McDonald's something like that?
It crossed my mind. Fortunately, my father-in-law had paid for it ahead of time, and I was like, okay, all right, thank you. But that's one of those things where you have to be aware of stuff like that. Like that adds a whole lot of money, a whole lot of expense to just kind of a fun family trip.
But I will say, I mean, I agree. I hate fees, but I'm thinking about like reserving some chairs poolside, like at the Bellagio. If going to Vegas and splurging in that way, if that's your thing, if that's your craft beer equivalent, then like what I would say is have at it. You know, I'm not going to yuck on your yum as long as folks have options, you know, and as long as there is price transparency. Because, you know, there's also this reality where these new hotel fees could end up saving some money savvy travelers money. Like it makes me think of jumping through all the different hoops within a discount airline like Spirit or Frontier, how that's going to, you know, help you to get to your destination for far less money than the other airlines most of the time. You just got to know how to work the system. You have to know what they're charging, as long as they're being transparent, and as long as you know that, well, if I don't want to deal with that, if I want to kind of maybe spend a little bit more and go with Delta or go with United, you know that that's an option for you. I just want folks to have options. And you know what? If some of these fancier hotels are charging, in some cases, a lot of money for folks to not have to get up early in the morning and circle around the pool and throw down the towels, like, I hate that sort of that game. You know, and I think there's a lot of folks.
But how much is that going to cost you? And do you need the primo hotels, or can you be like three rows back at the pool? I don't know. Like, yeah. Part of it depends on what you want. And sometimes those fees are just so sneaky that you don't know they exist. And you pull up and you're like,
the sneakiness.
Wait a second,
not cool.
I had no idea.
Definitely and not down with the sneakiness.
Yeah, it can throw a wrench in your experience and kind of make your trip cost a lot more than you thought. So it's something you need to be proactively thinking about.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, well, let's get to that story about the credit bureaus. And you know, this is just one more negative story we have to discuss on the Friday flight today. It could have also been the ludicrous headline of the week.
Yeah, we've got like three ludicrous headlines of the week.
Yeah, all the crappy stuff happening out there, right?
That folks need to be aware of.
Right. Well, the Wall Street Journal published an exclusive article earlier this week about the extent to which the bureaus make egregious mistakes affecting consumers everywhere. Notice that we didn't say affecting their customers, because we aren't their customers. We are the product that's being sold all over the place. And so the Wall Street Journal reporters, they found that Equifax in particular sent inaccurate credit score information to lenders not a few times, not hundreds of times, millions of times. Mm. And so we're not talking about just like this, whoops, oh, sorry, screwed up, hurt a couple people. We're talking about repetitive incompetence that resulted in higher interest rates and denied applications for a bunch of individual borrowers. And so if Equifax didn't thoroughly earn their place in the pantheon of most hated companies with their massive data breach of 2017, they're certainly there now. Man, they are up there. They might be worse than the big banks in a lot of ways. To see this story was just so frustrating. It made me sad for all those people that got screwed over. But it's also just kind of tough to stomach these repetitive, boneheaded moves that cost all of us a lot of money and headache.
Yeah, I saw the Equifax CEO. He had the nerve to say that these errors were not something meaningful to Equifax, which, yeah, dude, of course, it's not going to really affect y'all because you seem to be immune from any negative backlash. It's the American people who are getting screwed over and who it's becoming a problem for. And, you know, although the government taking over credit reports and scores, like how that has been floated as an option, I'm not sure that is going to be the best way to proceed as well. But just the current model is just so severely flawed, though. And, you know, like you were talking about earlier about U.S. Bank having their feet held to the fire, that also needs to happen with the credit bureaus. They need to be held responsible for these mistakes when it comes to responding to these issues that everyday folks run up against as a result of their mistakes and their incompetence. But on a brighter note, it seems that technology seems to be making our current scoring models maybe feel a bit antiquated, which is welcome news. But companies like Altro, they are seeking to create new models based on how it is you pay recurring subscriptions. Some credit cards out there like Pedal Card, X1, they are underwriting folks based on alternative means like income and your bank transactions. They're actually looking at your data and treating you like a human being rather than being fed the score straight from the credit bureaus. And so hopefully some of these young fintech upstarts will be able to create some healthy competition in the space, because the credit bureaus, you know, I feel like they're sort of like dinosaurs. They're ripe for extinction. Their writing seems to be on the wall, and I'm certainly glad that there's more competition cropping up. It also makes me think how maybe the buy now, pay later companies, this is a service that they might be able to provide, but it seems what's going on is they're starting to, it's like they're paying tribute by sending their data to the credit bureaus rather than maybe creating their own ecosystem. And I would much rather see competition than them just getting brought into the fold.
And I don't mind jumping through the hoops as long as when it comes to the credit scoring model. We've talked about that. How do you get a good credit score? And we've talked about, well, here's the scoring model, here's how it's set up, and here's how you ensure that you play by the rules in order to get a good credit score.
There's always going to be rules. No matter what, there's going to be instructions on how to play the game.
But my biggest problem is when you play by the rules, but there's so much incompetence by the folks running the game that you get screwed over even though you've done the right thing.
Yeah.
And that seems to just be happening on a scale that's far too large for my comfort. It's something like
specifically
what?
With Equifax.
Yeah, something like a quarter of credit reports have an error on them. And when we talk about the response rate of these credit bureaus to people who do have an error on their report, it's negligible. Like they don't even get back to people who have an issue. And then they do something like this. And it's like, okay, we've just seen far too many mistakes to make me feel any level of comfort with them being in control of not only our information, but also our ability to, you know, get the loans and financial products that we need.
Totally. And I feel that we can maybe be a little bit harder on Equifax since they're here in Atlanta. We're able to, it's kind of like punching your younger brother. It's like, you can do that, but your neighbor better not.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. We could do like a How to Money protest in front of Equifax headquarters maybe next week if you're up.
All right. Enough of the negative. Let's turn to the positive. There's a story on CNET's site, and they are reporting that you could save money by simply changing the temperature on your hot water heater. And you're probably thinking, you know, big deal. This is probably just chump change. But no, it turns out you might be able to save like multiple hundreds of dollars over the course of a year. And that's because the Department of Energy estimates that your hot water heater is often responsible for 14 to 18% of your home's utility bills. And most water heaters are set to a temperature of 140 degrees when 120 degrees will typically suit most families just fine. And so, yeah, we'd recommend for you to check that out. If for some reason that bump down in temp, if it's not working out for you, you can always bump it back up. No harm, no foul. But if you're all about a quick way to start saving some serious money, you know, well, eventually it'll be serious. Right now it's immediate, but over time it'll be serious.
$20 a month, man. If you save that by turning the dial down on your hot water heater, that's a reasonable amount of money. Like that's, I literally read this article and I went straight into my crawl space and I
lowered
the
temperature. Did you do it right away?
Yes, I did. So some have like a digital display and you can like just put the arrow down and get it to the temperature you want it to. Mine, I had to pull out a couple screws and then turn the dial down a little bit. I took a picture.
You got the black knob?
No, it's not a knob. No, it's like a little dial and you got to use a screwdriver to turn it down just a little bit. So I'll send you a picture that I took.
I haven't even looked at the hot water here at our new place. Like
Now you got to. You got to make sure the temp's
not
too high.
Well, the thing is, I mean, we're a family of six and so we have run out of hot water before. If we've all gone hiking, we come home, and everyone stinks, everyone's hot and sweaty. It's like, okay, we're all taking showers or baths. Literally every bathroom is being occupied and we've gotten to where we've run out of water. But if, I don't know, if you're a family, if it's just you in your place or you've got a smaller family, you just got one kid, I think you could totally
Or you've got a big turn, enough
turn
tank,
the temperature
right?
down. Exactly.
And that's where tankless is, obviously, it's like, it's better in a lot of ways, but it's also more expensive.
Yeah.
But word to the wise, if you haven't checked it lately and you're like, I can stand to save some money, and no, we never really run out of hot water. And you know what? It actually is pretty scalding when it's on the hottest level.
For most folks,
somewhere in that 120 to 125 range will work just fine.
Well, it turns out like you don't want to go less than 120 because...
Bacteria,
exactly. Mm-hmm. If it goes less than 120, Legionella, evidently, is the bacteria that causes... What disease is it called?
If we're picking favorites...
Legionnaire's disease.
That's right, yeah. Okay. If we're picking favorites, that's my favorite bacteria, but...
Legionella. So, I mean, I mentioned that because I don't want folks to get so cheap with it that they turn their water heater down too much.
Well, I'm going to take it down to 90 degrees.
And now you've got pneumonia and you're in the hospital and it's like, it's a real disease. People die from it. It's rare, like Legionnaire's disease.
You can still take a cold shower if you want.
But it's real.
Yeah. So
anyway,
don't go too cheap. But yeah,
that's what we're here for, helping you to save money and not die.
If you can save 15, 20 bucks a month by turning down your water heater, make it happen. And just like I did. So all right, that's going to do it for this episode. Again, we'll send those socks out to the folks who won. Thank you to everyone who left a review. We really appreciate it. And we hope to see you back here on Monday for an upcoming Ask How to Money episode. We got some good questions lined up for you.
That's right, buddy. So until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health. With great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.